Every Sunday, people gather in this space. We all come with different thoughts in our minds and feelings in our hearts. Some of you might be feeling a little tired and worn out tonight. To be honest, I've been feeling that way a lot this week. Some of you might be wondering if you should even be here. There's probably lots of other things you could be doing, like getting some work done, resting, or enjoying a favorite activity. Some of you are unsure about church, not yet even convinced there is a God. And some of you might be in some desperate need of hope today. Others are feeling pretty good at the moment, but maybe you've begun to forget what this is all about. So here we are, gathered together, and at the beginning of the service, the worship leader invites us to praise the Lord. Why should we praise the Lord? Why participate? Why stand and join in singing a song of praise? Let's find out. If you have a Bible with you, you can flip to Psalm 103. The text will also be on the screen. And this is quite a lengthy psalm, so we will read only selected verses. Please listen attentively to the reading of Holy Scripture. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Then down to verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And here, fear doesn't mean being afraid, but revering God, respecting him, honoring him. Down to verse 15, as for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, who revere him, honor him, respect him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Psalms, which have formed your people in faith and prayer for many generations. Help us now to hear this psalm with open ears and responsive hearts so that we too may live a life of praise. Amen. We are nearing the end of our summer playlist sermon series, going through some of the top songs that Jesus would have known. The Psalms are a collection of ancient worship songs and poetic prayers. The Psalms cover the spectrum of human emotion and form us as God's people. Tonight we're looking at a psalm of praise. Psalm 103 is a passionate response to the implicit question, why should I praise God? It gives us many reasons to sing. In this psalm, praise emerges from the inside out. It begins with the author's own personal spiritual experience and then moves outward in concentric circles, first to the experience of all God's people and then to the cosmic invitation for all creation to join in praising their Creator. This psalm is almost overwhelming in content, in reasons to praise God who forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, reveals, has mercy, remembers, loves eternally, and rules over all. Yet in the abundance of content, the theme that resounds all throughout Psalm 103 is God's love and compassion. We are caught up in the compassionate heart of God, and this is why we praise him. Psalm 103 suggests that praise and memory go hand in hand. The key to praising God is to remember. Remember what God has done, and remember who God is. First, remember what God has done. Memory is a bit of a mystery. Many of us can remember all the lyrics to our favorite songs as we're singing along, but if someone asks what we did over the weekend, we scratch our heads and we're like, what did I do? I can't remember. My mind's just gone blank. We can have a hard time recalling events even from our immediate past. And it can be the same way with remembering what God has done. So Psalm 103 begins with, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The psalmist invites himself to praise God and to remember what God has done for him. But this invitation to remember is interestingly put in the negative, forget not. It's a subtle warning to hold on to memories of experiencing God. We so easily forget. When we're currently healthy, we often forget that we've been sick before and that God has healed us. When we're currently living in faithfulness, we often forget how we've had these experiences of sin, of doing something wrong. We forget the guilt and shame that came with our failures and how unworthy we felt. We also can forget what came afterwards if we confessed. We forget that feeling, that liberating feeling of freedom because we have been forgiven. What a joy it is to be forgiven. Shortly after my wife and I started dating, we decided to spend an evening sharing our deepest, darkest stuff from our past. Some people might find that a little too intense, but it worked for us. I was quite nervous, though, to share my darkest stuff with her. I wondered if this might scare her away, if she might want to break up with me. But instead of rejection and judgment, she responded graciously with care. And she spoke of God's forgiveness. This felt amazing. I remember later that night, after walking her to the C bus, I literally skipped and danced all the way home down the street. I just felt alive and full of the Spirit and free in Christ because she didn't hold my crap against me, and neither did God. To live in the light of confession, of truth, of forgiveness is like coming out of a dark, moldy basement into a bright summer's day. It feels glorious. I want to invite you now to close your eyes and reflect on your own experience. Think back to a time when you have experienced forgiveness. What happened? And who did it involve? How were you feeling when you had first messed up? And how did you feel after you were forgiven? You can open your eyes again. We need to remember these key moments in our lives when we've been forgiven or healed or lifted out of the pit. And as we remember what God has done for us, the appropriate response is to praise him, to celebrate with gratitude for what God has done for us. And when we praise God, we don't need to be thinking only of our current situation. Recall what God has done for you before. Bring those memories into your experience of praising God. We need to be living a life of praise as we bring our memories forward into our worship of the Lord. We also need to remember being crowned with love and compassion. A crown is a symbol of royalty, which is appropriate because every follower of Jesus is a child of the true King who reigns over the universe. We find our identity in the love and compassion of the God who adopts us as his children. And this alone is enough reason to praise God. Many of us spend a lot of our lives struggling with issues of identity. We want to be accepted. We want to be somebody. Some of us might try to make something of ourselves and prove to others that our life matters, that we are valuable. You don't need to prove yourself. You are already precious and loved. God has welcomed you into his family. You are a child of God. A songwriter named Ryan O'Neill, who goes by the stage name Sleeping at Last, wrote a song about his daughter growing up and learning to walk. And I think this gives a picture of how God sees all of us. Here are some of the lyrics. If only you knew, the sunlight shines a little brighter. The weight of the world's a little lighter. The stars lean in a little closer, all because of you. I want to see you lift your chin a little higher, open your eyes a little wider, speak your mind a little louder, because you are royalty. This is your kingdom. This is your crown. This is your story. Don't look down. You're ready, born ready, and all you got to do is put one foot in front of you. Ryan, the songwriter, admits that this is a little sappy, but hopes that this song gets filed in the heartfelt category more than anything. This song often reminds me of my own two daughters and often chokes me up a little bit. My youngest just started learning to walk a few weeks ago, and I am so delighted to see her continue to grow and develop. This is how God sees us. He is delighted to see you grow. He loves you. You're his child. So I want to invite you again to close your eyes and silently reflect on your own experience. Think back to a time when you felt welcomed with love and compassion. Where were you when you felt welcomed with love? How did this shape how you see yourself? And how did you want to respond to this loving welcome? You can open your eyes again. Remember who you are. Don't forget that you have been crowned with love and compassion. You are a child of God. So praise your heavenly Father for calling you his own and welcoming you into his family. One more thing that God has done that we need to remember is that God satisfies our desires with good things. This doesn't mean that God gives us everything that we want. God knows my selfish desires, and thankfully, he doesn't always give those to me. But God also knows the deeper, true desires of my heart. To use the gifts he has given me to contribute meaningfully, to be part of a team, to know and be known, to love and be loved, to keep growing and learning. The other day, I spent some time alone with God as I sat on the bench between the lavender bushes outside the church office, and I became overwhelmed as I remembered how good God has been to me. I thought of my job and the collaborative team that I get to be a part of. I thought of some new opportunities I've been receiving. I thought about my community, my education, my family, my friends. All these ways that God has been satisfying my deepest desires. And I am utterly grateful. Not all of these things came all at once. But as I have continued to trust God with my desires, he has been satisfying them over time in his own good, perfect timing. What has been your experience? When you look back at your life. Can you see how God has been satisfying your desires? Surely there are also disappointments along the way and even tragedies, and I don't want to minimize those. This psalm is attributed to King David, who knew a lot about hardships. He spent a lot of his life on the run from enemies who wanted to kill him. David was even betrayed by his own son. Yet in his tumultuous life, David could still praise God for satisfying his desires with good things. Some of you might be going through such a hard time right now that you can't even imagine praising God right now. That's okay. As other sermons in this series have pointed out, a full life of prayer involves not only praising God, but also complaining to him, asking where he is, getting angry at him. God can handle whatever we throw at him. He wants us to be honest. God would rather that we yell at him than not talk with him at all. Yet, if you are feeling ready to explore the possibility of praising God, even though you aren't feeling particularly joyful right now, it can be helpful to start writing down some things you're grateful for. This can be challenging sometimes. There have been times when I've been stressed at work, in conflict with my wife, and just not feeling great about life in general. Yet, when I've disciplined myself to recall how God has been good to me, I've been surprised how many things I could list even in those harder times. So, one last time, I invite you to close your eyes and silently reflect on your own experience. What are you grateful for? Be as specific and concrete as possible. Try to come up with 10 things that you're grateful for. How have some of your desires been satisfied? can open your eyes again. As you remember how God has been satisfying your desires, you will want to praise him for it. So far, we have looked at personal spiritual experience, remembering what God has done for us, which compels us to praise him. Similarly, when we remember who God is, we will be inspired to praise. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." This is a quote from Exodus 34. After God had delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and given them the Ten Commandments, Moses asked God to reveal his glory. The word glory is related to renown and fame. Your glory is what you are known for. So Moses wanted God to reveal what God is known for. God's response was to proclaim, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is who God is. This is God's self-revelation, making himself known to the world. The glory of God is his love and compassion. God is the one who cares. This is elaborated in verse 11 with an astonishing comparison between the height of the heavens above the earth and the greatness of God's love. Ancient people used the word heavens to refer to the great expanse above the earth. At one level, heavens can refer to the sky. If you have been on an airplane traveling 31,000 feet above the earth and looked down through your window, you probably thought that was quite high. God's love is even greater than that height. At another level, heavens can refer to outer space, to the great expanse of the universe. Here is a spiritual discipline to contemplate God's love. On a clear night, maybe tonight, look up at the starry sky. Try to wrap your mind around the distance between the earth and the stars. If my calculation is correct, based on some online research, it would take 500 million years for the fastest rocket to travel to the farthest star we can see without a telescope. 500 million years. That's far. And I think that's probably impossible, and it's only scratching the surface on the expanse of the universe. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for us. What has been your experience of love? Think back to your family when you were growing up, as well as to your friends and other relationships along the way. Have you felt like you had to earn love? Have you experienced a limit to love? Has anyone withheld love from you? That's not the way it is with God. We could spend the rest of our lives trying to grasp how wide and deep and high is the love of God for us. God's love is far greater than we could ever imagine or comprehend. This past week, I've been feeling a little stressed at work and at home, and quite tired. And unfortunately, I made the poor choice of not spending much time with God. It's not a guilt thing so much as just, I love spending time with God. God's presence is like the best thing I could ever experience. But I just kind of rushed through any time I spent in prayer or reading scripture. I wasn't really trying to be with the Lord, maybe just trying to be a little dutiful at times, but it wasn't right. And on Friday morning, though, I was more attentive. After reading some scripture, I sat in silence. I wanted to be close to the Lord. And in the stillness of my heart, I felt God say to me, "I love you." And I said, "I love you too." And a couple of tears gently rolled down my cheeks. When we realize who God is, that God is unending love, love that we don't have to earn, love that has no limit, love that he will not withhold from us, we will want to praise him. This is what we're looking for. We all want this love that God has for us. We praise God because he is loving and compassionate. We also praise God when we realize his greatness as the eternal one. He is the God who was, who is, and who is to come. Our lives are very short in comparison with all eternity, even in comparison with human history. When I was studying to become a pastor, there were some church history courses that were part of my program. I was never previously interested in history, but I found it incredibly helpful to study all the centuries between the early church in the Bible and the present day. Studying history helped me identify where we are now and how we got here. It also helped me realize that the generations living today are just a short chapter in a much longer book. We can be prone to think highly of ourselves and think that newer is better. So we look down on the past or just don't give much thought to all the rest of history. A little humility would be good for us. We need to learn our place and praise the God who's been at work through all history. Let's look at verses 15 to 17. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, who revere him, honor him, respect him, and his righteousness with their children's children. We are given a precious life for a limited time. We have a tendency to live as if the world revolves around us, or at least around our generation. But like a flower, our beautiful contribution to the world is fleeting. We're always at risk of simply wasting our lives by living only for ourselves. But when our lives can be lived for God's glory instead of our own, we can be part of something much more enduring and significant. Our lives can be part of God's unfolding story. We can participate in this love of God from everlasting to everlasting, this eternal duration in both directions. From ancient times past to far in the future, from infinity behind us to infinity ahead, we can be part of God's unfolding story. Our lives can be part of the story of salvation from Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, the early church, Christendom, current times in the present, all the way to kingdom come. God's love has been with his people that whole time. We are like grass, like a flower of the field, but our temporary lives can be part of that big story, and that is something significant. We can have purpose in life when we see ourselves in God's story, not just our own. Your relationships, your work, what you do with your time, and all the choices you make can be part of the plot of the story that God is writing. As we remember who God is as the author of the story, as the eternal one, as the God of love and compassion, we will want to praise him. About a year ago, my grandpa died. He was in his 90s, and he had lived a flourishing life. At the funeral, I was struck by how his life was part of a bigger story. He was living for more than just himself. He was living a life of praise. He lived his faith out in every area of his life, at work, at home, in the neighborhood. Grandpa was a high school teacher and rugby coach, known for his kindness. He was a loving husband and father. All my cousins and I loved our grandpa, and we always looked forward to a big grandpa hug whenever we saw him. At family reunions, Grandpa would stand up and pray before dinner, even though not everyone in the family were Christians, but they respected his faith And he praised God on behalf of the whole family. My uncle, who's not a believer, said that he never felt pressured to believe in God, even though his dad, my grandpa, was very open about his faith. Grandpa was also a fun-loving guy. He led square dancing at the annual neighborhood party, spreading joy to all who would come. My uncle has now taken over that tradition, carried it on, and even my 3-year-old daughter joined in the square dance a couple weeks ago and had a blast. So my grandpa's legacy is continuing to his children's children's children. Grandpa was part of the Odd Fellows Club, which is a benevolent group that cares for others. I remember Grandpa telling me about visiting shut-ins, which are elderly people who are physically unable to leave the home. He would bring them groceries, as well as other household items they might need, like a new toaster. One of my relatives said that my grandpa's life makes her want to be a better person. When she said that, I knew that Grandpa wouldn't have taken all the credit. He was living in response to God's love for him. He was living in response to all the ways that God has blessed him, and he wanted to be part of a bigger story. Grandpa was a flourishing flower. Now the wind has blown and he is gone. Yet I expect to see him in the life to come. My grandma asked my mom and I to sing a song at the funeral, which is based on Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Even my relatives who don't believe in God were crying as we sang. There's something beautiful about a life well lived, a life beyond yourself, a life of praise. So as you remember what God has done and remember who God is, what is going to be your response? What's going to be your response as you are forgiven? What's going to be your response as you are healed? What's going to be your response when you are crowned with love and compassion, when your desires are satisfied with good things? What is your response to the God whose love reaches farther than the expanse of the universe? What is your response to God's love from everlasting to everlasting as he enfolds your short life into his grand narrative? What I want to do is praise God. And I hope you do too. So in conclusion, I invite you to stand and join me in singing a song of praise. Hopefully you know it. If you don't, just try to sing along. This is the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow."